This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
It's 6:06. Welcome to Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Today, we're discussing the LRT train crash in Kuala Lumpur last night.
First, we'll speak with Transport Minister Dato Sri Dr. Wee Kah Siong to understand what happened and what needs to be done next. And then we'll discuss the lessons we need to take away from this incident about public transport safety.
And finally, most of us have never been in this sort of situation before, so what do we need to know to assess our own safety as well as others with us?
And we want to know, as always, how do you feel about this? What needs to be done to make our public transport safer? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story.
It is 6:07, and if you had been paying attention to the news last night, I think a pretty shocking story came out, which is the fact that two LRT trains collided underground near the KLCC station yesterday, just about 8:30 p.m. And I think social media being what it is, pictures started circulating immediately. A lot of them, quite graphic and quite worrying. The trains that were involved were essentially one passenger train that was carrying passengers traveling from the Gomba LRT station that collided with another train that didn't have commuters and was essentially being taken for repairs that had one operator on board.
And of course, a collision happens when you have trains running on the same track, right? So both trains were running on that same track from opposite directions. And Transport Minister Dato Sri Wee Kah Siong, who's about to be join us as our first guest, basically said one train was moving at 40 kilometers per hour, the other one at 60 kilometers per hour. The empty train was undergoing testing and was being driven in the wrong direction, at least from initial investigations, which of course, this being a developing story, is all we have at the moment. These initial investigations indicate that human error is behind the collision. And essentially, there were 213 passengers, both seated and standing, who were injured by this. 47 people have been severely injured, and they were all taken to Kuala Lumpur Hospital for medical treatment. At this moment, 6 remain in critical condition and 15 semi-critical condition.
So needless to say, that's actually a pretty serious event. We're still waiting to see, how these victims are. And because of that, there've immediately been calls for further investigation and for some kind of accountability. Now, Dato Sri, we did say that they will be looking into the causes of the incident. A special task force that involves experts from a number of agencies has been set up. That includes people from the Transport Ministry, Prasarana Malaysia Berhad, which of course owns the LRT, and the Land and Public Transport Agency. He said that a preliminary report will be sent to the Land Public Transport Agency, and that was sent this morning. Now, on behalf of Prasarana itself, they've since announced that an aid of 1,000 ringgit will be provided to each of those 213 passengers. Special assistance will be given to the 64 that have been admitted. Their costs of medication, treatment, and so on will be covered until full recovery. And financial assistance that will be given will be based on each individual case.
Yeah, and so I think a number of different things here, right? Firstly, as we said, I think the shock of it was very quickly replaced by, wait, how did this happen? And so at the moment, I think that is sort of the dominating question, right? Is how did this happen? And a desire to find out as much as possible about what occurred in the first place and what needs to be done so that it never, ever happens again. And that's something that we want to examine. But I think if we also just look at the videos and the photos, or rather the apparent impact really that this has caused on the lives of people who were injured, there were a lot of serious injuries. And I think if we look at what needs to be provided as they recover, as they deal with not just the physical injuries, but also potentially the trauma that resulted from this. I just hope that we see this commitment, the stated commitment of financial support, of support in general, being extended appropriately.
It's also such a challenging time for this to happen, isn't it? I mean, it's happening in the midst of a pandemic. You know, how do you manage an emergency situation at a time like this? And on top of it, we are talking about an increased reliance on public transport, people wanting to feel safe as they go out and go about their daily routines. So it is, I think that's part of the reason why it's impacted a lot of people, even those who are just reading about it, in a way that maybe we don't quite know how to process, I think. And you're absolutely right. I think that questions that need to be asked include things about accountability, but also about lessons to be learned. It's been pointed out multiple times that this is the first time in more than two decades that we've had an accident when it comes to our LRTs. So definitely something that we need to think about as we move forward and talk about improving our public transportation system. So we'd like to hear from you. How have you been feeling about this? What was your reaction to the news? And what needs to be done to make our public transportation safer? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we will be speaking to Datuk Sri Dr. Wee Kar Siong, our Minister of Transport, about the LRT accident that happened last night. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:13. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are focusing on the LRT crash that happened last night. You know, it's left 47 people, I believe, left with injuries. And a lot of questions being asked on how it happened, what we need to be looking at as we move forward. And so we'd like to hear from you. How do you feel about this? And what would make our public transportation safer? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line, we have Transport Minister Datuk Sri Dr. Wee Kar Siong. Datuk, thank you for being with us today. Now, to start off with, can we get your reaction to yesterday's incident?
I feel sad, and I rushed to the Avenue K, the station where the accident happened, and immediately we provided the necessary care for the passengers, those injured passengers, to be sent to hospital. And as of now, as of today, we have altogether 64 passengers who were brought to the hospital Kuala Lumpur. And a total of 21 victims are receiving treatment in Kuala Lumpur Hospital. And 6 persons are in critical condition, while 15 are in semi-critical condition. Whereas 43 victims have been given outpatient treatment from an initial total of 64 persons who were brought to HKL. So this is the update on the number of passengers that injured during this incident. And in fact, this morning I've received a preliminary report from APAT, the Land Public Transport Agency, on the preliminary investigation paper, right? Basically, the finding is that the two trains involved, one is TR-40 and TR-81. TR-81 is with 200 over passengers and TR-40 without passenger. What happened was the TR-40 experienced some technical errors. Therefore, the control center, the operation control center, has directed the one of the personnel, the hostler, to handle the train. At that time, there was some problem with the vehicle controller. It was suddenly hot. So because of that, it cannot run automatically. So we need to get somebody, the hostler, to handle this train. Unfortunately, this hostler, they followed the wrong direction, meaning that they were on the opposite direction. That's why the head-on collision happened. That's basically happened. From the technical point of view, this is what the initial finding.
So a special task force has been set up to investigate the incident. Can you tell us more about what the investigations will entail?
Okay, we have identified the what we call TOR, the term of reference for this investigation committee to conduct in-depth investigation and analysis. And basically, this committee consists of 9 members. The committee will be chaired by my KSU, the MOT Secretary General, Datu Isham Ishak. And Deputy Chairman is Puan Noma, who is the Deputy Secretary General in charge of the policy of MOT. And the outsiders or the experts that have been invited to participate in this investigation committee. First is Encik Yus Liza, the former head of a rail section of SPART, and who is very experienced in rail development. And Mr. Anthony Arukyanandan, who is the expert in the signaling system. All right. The third person is the Professor Madya Dr. Noor Aziati binti Abdul Hamid, who is in Pusat Kecemerlangan Industri Rail, Institut Kejuruteraan Integrasi, UTHM, Batu Pahat. The fourth academician or the expert that we have invited is Professor Engineer Dr. Wong Shaowun from Engineering Faculty of UPM, who is also the former DG of MIROS. And Brigadier General Izani bin Ismail, the Chief Inspector of air crash or the air accident, which is an independent bureau under MOT. And he's very well versed with the SOP for the investigation of this sort. The person in charge of the secretariat is Mr. Mohammad Shariman bin Shafi'in, who is the KP Kereta Api under this what we call Bahagian Darat Kementerian Pengangkutan Malaysia. And another guy is Encik Wan Ashraf, who is the undersecretary in charge of land transport of MOT. So we have 9 people in the committee, which consists of 4 or 5 outsiders, and they'll do the independent evaluation. And we want them to look into all aspects, including technical, signaling, communication, or even system. So they'll carry out the thorough investigation on the cause of accident.
So how will the public be able to access the results of this investigation once it's done?
We are transparent. As what I've already revealed to the media just now, the preliminary report has been issued to the public, through the media conference that I conducted just now. And after 13 days, this report will be submitted according to the SOP within 14 days of the accident. So they have another 13 days. So they must complete this report for the next 13 days and submit to me before I present it to the cabinet. So this is a procedure. After that, we'll just identify what are the weaknesses, drawbacks, and what are the aspects that we need to improve upon. So we shall wait for the report to be submitted to me.
So there are allegations that an accident this severe can only happen because of multiple errors and oversight, and therefore investigations shouldn't rule out the possibility of an underlying systemic problem. What are your thoughts?
As I said, we will look at every aspect, okay? The technical aspect, when you talk about signaling itself is a very big subject, whether there's any technical fault. Communication, whether there's any fault in terms of communication. And the system itself, and fourth, the human error. Of course, at this, the report that I received, the preliminary report, says that, you know, because of the hostler went on the opposite direction, that caused a collision. And I need to know why. It could be due to other technical errors. We're yet to find out. So these are the aspects that we want the team to investigate. That's why we incorporate the expert in this signaling as well as in this field to investigate.
How are the victims doing at the moment? From what we understand, you will be visiting them today as well?
Yes. As I said, altogether 64, they were sent to HKL. And as of now, I think 47 already discharged, or they only went through the outpatient treatment. So the rest, we still have to talk to the hospital. Then this evening, I'm going to the hospital to visit some of them. So I will receive a detailed report from the hospital.
Now, Prasarana has said that financial aid of 1,000 ringgit will be paid to the victims on top of covering costs for medical treatments. What other forms of support might be needed by the victims and their families?
I think the trauma that they've gone through is something that we really have to address. So let us talk to the expert, the medical team, and it is not something that it can be compensated in terms of ringgit. So we need to give them treatment. And at this juncture, our top priority is to treat all these patients, I mean, those injured passengers. And over and above, of course, the ex gratia payment by Prasarana is something to show the what you call the sincerity of Prasarana. But at the same time also, I must inform the public that all this public transport, they were insurance coverage. So this is something that we can talk to the insurance company and see what sort of assistance that they can provide to the injured passengers.
And YB, from your point of view, who should be held accountable for this incident?
Let's wait for the full report. At this juncture, it is too, what we call, is premature for me to say anything, but this is only preliminary. That's why in our SOP, the first 24 hours is to get the preliminary findings. Then we should go into the in-depth analysis. So that's why we have this team to work day and night for the next 13 days to find out the answer.
And in the meantime, perhaps you could also have a message for us to assure the public, especially users of the LRT, what's going to be done to ensure safety moving forward?
As far as MOT is concerned, we'd like to give our assurance. APART, the agency that regulate all this, what you call trains operation, will step up the effort to ensure that all operators will adhere to the SOP and the safety measures as introduced or as part of the conditions that impose on them. So this is something that we should give priority, and perhaps we should increase the frequency to have audit and to check the compliance of all these safety issues. In fact, during SPARTS time and now under APART, we have a very stringent what they call guidelines on the safety of trains and whatnot. And the system, if anything happened, the ERP, as well as the what they call how to overcome all the system so that we give the maximum protection to the passengers. So all this will be taken into consideration, and we want to ensure that the public will take this what they call public transport and they'll feel safe to do so.
And before we let you go, on a separate issue, public transport users have also been sharing this morning that there have been really relatively large crowds at LRT stations after the new SOPs kicked in because of the reduced frequency of trains. What will be done to address this?
Unfortunately, because of the accident yesterday, we had to close some of the sections. And in fact, we can only provide hybrid service, meaning that instead of we have two tracks, usually, now only one track. So it is impossible to have the normal service. So for certain section, we have to close down and only provide one track service. So this is one. And for those trains, the trains from Putra Heights, they have to make a turn, get at this, what you call Masjid Jamek, and then Pasar Seni. And there's a gap between this Pasar Seni as well as this Ampang Park. So we have already provided a free shuttle bus, which is double-decker buses, for us to transport those passengers. So make sure that they don't jam up one station. But this is part of the what we call a temporary measure, because we need to clear the debris. So normally we need about 3 days, and we have to repair the track so that when other train arrive next 3 days, at least we want to make sure that it is safe, yeah, to use this track. So this is one. While waiting for us to remove the debris, as well as to repair the track, and this few days we have to make some adjustment. And I already instructed Prasarana to increase the frequency during the peak hour. We understand that because of the MCO 3.0, we have already make it more stringent for the SOP for people to comply. But unfortunately, it happened last night. and we need to inform the public. And this morning, we informed the public, and some of them may not understand and may not know what happened last night. So even the buses that were provided, I think people hardly use it. They need some time to do some adjustment. And in fact, this evening, and we have already make the necessary preparation so that we can manage the crowd better. And we'll ask the guard, or even police bantuan, to check and to allow the number of passengers to go on platform, which is 50% of the capacity. This is just to reduce, to make sure that we have strict compliance for the SOP.
YB, thanks so much for speaking with us today. That was Transport Minister Dato' Sri Dr. Wee Ka Siong speaking to us about the LRT accident that happened last night and moving forward, the sort of investigation that will be taking place. And we'd like to hear from you. How did you respond to this news? How do you feel about it? What needs to be done to make our public transport safer? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and we have some messages already.
Yes, generally a lot of people, understandably, like us, very upset. So Cheryl has a question saying, are injured commuters covered by insurance? And as we heard earlier from the minister, yes, they are. We also have Dr. Kairi Khalil saying, the chance of these accidents is very small when the operation is fully automated because there are risk avoidance and redundancies in the system. With humans, there are lots of factors, human errors, distractions, state of emotions, compliances, etc. One surprising thing that I've just heard is that there was only one operator in the manual train. This is safety violation 101.
Well, I'm actually not enough of an expert on safety when it comes to trains, but that is what we'll be talking about after this. But that's actually a question that's come up with a couple of people, really, because we also have, we have Patrick saying, those trains are automated driverless ones, so I'm really puzzled why the so-called driver was even mentioned. And that actually relates to the fact that this was actually a test being done to work out, I think, to problem solve and troubleshoot, and that's why there was an operator on that train. But keep those thoughts coming. And after this, we will be discussing exactly that, issues of safety, what lessons we can take away from this incident. And we'll be joined for that by Professor Dr. Ahmad Farhan Mohammad Sadullah, Professor of Transport Engineering at USM. So do share your thoughts with us. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are talking about the LRT crash that happened last night. We spent the first half of the show speaking to Transport Minister Dato' Sri Dr. Wee Ka Siong about the incident itself and what sorts of investigations are going to be carried out. And now we're going to move on to look at I suppose lessons moving forward, things to keep in mind when it comes to public transport safety. And on that note, we'd like to hear from you. How do you feel about this news and what needs to be done in a larger sense to make our public transportation safer? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now joined by Professor Dr. Ahmad Farhan Mohammad Sadullah, Professor of Transport Engineering at USM. Prof. Farhan, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, pleasure as always. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, well, surviving.
As we are all, I think. So let's look at what happened yesterday, right? Could you help us understand how LRTs work and how a collision like this could have happened in the first place?
Okay, of course, I do not want to preempt the investigation, but from my days in SPAD, when we do such investigation, we need to establish the cause and effect. Usually, in a system of rail, especially urban rail and LRT, when it is automated, the design of the system will be almost foolproof. Towards zero crash. And so when a crash happens, I think it's not about identifying who is at fault, but to look into the there is a term called the Swiss cheese model, the cause and effect model, to really understand the root of the problem. Because professionals cannot accept, professionals in the rail industry and transport industry cannot accept when a rail crash with sophisticated signaling and safety system can still have such an incident. So my call is perhaps not to just identify who is at fault, because it could be a systemic reasons. And therefore, we can establish procedures that can prevent this from happening. So perhaps that first, in terms of answering your first question, because the detail, I mean, I'm also not an expert in the rail part of things, but the philosophy or the gold standard, you know, rail systems has such a high standard. They are the gold standard of safety, and we don't expect it to have any concerns as far as safety goes.
So we've seen an expert suggesting a backup system to improve safety. What form might this system take, and what would it achieve?
Yeah, I guess, you know, when we purchase any rail system or when a rail system is being delivered, it all comes with a very stringent safety requirement. So, according to the minister, there was a human error. So I guess we need to identify the loopholes. The loopholes are always about human. Okay, so either it is apathy, lethargy, discipline. This has to be established. So that's what I mean by looking at the overall system, not only the crash, but what leads to the crash. And leading to a crash may even be the system itself. You know, the whole, it may be beyond technical. It could be about people. It could be about governance. It could be about funding. So I do hope we look into all this, because from my experience with the buses crash before, sometimes it also falls into governance issues, okay, institutional issues. But it is worrying, because we are at the point of expanding our rail system, and we have not only urban rail, we have intercity rails, and we have actually, you know, invested a lot of money, and our concern is, well, our bet is, or our assurance to the public is that this such rail system is safe, so use it, as opposed to using your own car, using buses and so on. So there is a identity crisis or confidence crisis that we have to tackle as well, as far as the agenda of public transport for the nation.
So we're getting a lot of comments and questions about automation and the fact that shouldn't the system be able to identify and detect when trains are on a collision course? Is this something that we have, to your knowledge?
Oh, yes, of course. That's standard. All rail system have standard. In fact, for urban rail, especially when it is automated, it is even doubly stringent, you know. So that's why I'm sure the investigating team will identify what went wrong. But I think the position of the investigation must go beyond the implication of this crash to the image of public transport safety, especially rail safety. Because to me personally, I think I've spoken to you in the past, I always regard rail as the highest hierarchy of public transport, and that is our assurance for more sustainable transport in the future, to be able to bring people out from their own cars and vehicles to go onto public transport systems. And when yesterday's crash happened, that, you know, we are going back, you know, we are basically being dragged back to many, many years to build up. We have to rebuild the confidence of the public. And now, you know, public, especially in urban areas like Kuala Lumpur, they are relying on rail. So how are we going to overcome that confidence crisis? So that should also be given a thought by APAD and Ministry of Transport as well, I think.
So in your view, then, what could be done to help to rebuild that confidence, especially in terms of messaging or reassurances from the government?
Okay. I think we need to nail the systemic cause of the problem. And I'm not sure to what extent the minister will bring this to, I mean, whether it's going to be a public inquiry or, a close thing. It's up to the minister. But to the users of LRT, I'm sure they would like to know, and they need to be confident about the interventions that we're going to take. As I said, if it is systemic, the root cause must be addressed. And if it is not, it is an accident that is waiting to recur. And that is why we don't want to use the word accident, because we should be, these are engineering things, and it is being programmed, it is being designed. So we should be able to ensure zero crash in a rail system. So if we can't, there must be something wrong with the system. So we need to identify what is wrong and address that, So the root of the problem must be identified.
Prof, we just have a couple of minutes left with you. I just wanted to close on asking you, the fact that public transport is something that we're continuously working on, upgrading, expanding, what lesson can we take from this incident?
Okay, first, do not take safety for granted. A lot of people are actually putting their life online, and therefore operators and everybody that is from the supply side, which is providing the service, should never take safety for granted. It has to be given the highest standard, and I always give the parallel of the oil and gas industry having one of the highest standards of safety. Why can't our public transport industry, also benchmark and live up and bring their industry to that level? This is the future. We will not be able to continue in terms of sustainability if we do not go into a bigger usage of public transport, especially rail. Because population is growing, urbanization is growing, there are a lot of other challenges, and our roads are just not the way forward. We need to go to public transport, especially rail. So when this happens to rail, when I got the news last night, it's another sad, double crisis in us moving forward towards better future for all people of Malaysia and the future of the nation. And enough. And we have so many challenges. I hope we can at least nail this correctly and once and for all, and then build up quickly the confidence. Because remember, all these are investment. We have invested a lot in all our rail system, and some of them are still at its infancy. The MRT system are still struggling with demand and so on. So you imagine the investment as well as what we require for the nation and for the urban people to live and to be able to be mobile as part of the SDG. So there's so many things at stake, actually. If you want to debate, there are a lot we can have more discussion about what is at stake because of this crash. So I do hope that we can really nail the bottom of it and make sure that we are more confident about the system that we are using.
Prof, thanks for speaking with us today.
All right. Thank you. Take care, all. Be safe.
You too. You too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Professor Dr. Ahmad Farhan Mohamad Sadullah, Professor of Transport Engineering at USM, speaking to us about public transport safety in general and lessons that we can take away from last night's LRT crash. Let us know how you feel about this. What needs to be done to make our public transport safer? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And coming up after this, we'll look at what we can do if we find ourselves in these sorts of situations. And for that, we'll be joined by Kenneth Charles Fernandez from the St. John's Ambulance of Malaysia, Wilayah Persekutuan. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:51. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we are talking about the LRT crash that happened last night. We've talked about, really what happens, what needs to be done in terms of uncovering the events and sort of getting some amount of accountability. We've also discussed public transport safety in general, which brings us quite neatly to our next point of conversation, which is essentially what we should do, what we should know when caught in situations like these. So we'll be discussing that shortly. But meanwhile, share your thoughts with us. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on the line with us is Kenneth Charles Fernandez, Regional Staff Officer of Operations at St. John's Ambulance of Malaysia, Wilayah Persekutuan. Kenneth, thank you for joining us today.
Hi. Yes, good evening. Thanks for having me here.
So you were actually one of the early responders to that incident last night. Could you tell us what your experience was?
Yep. So basically, my first initial thought was that I'm hoping there's enough sufficient resources that's available on scene. For example, is there any enough ambulance to ferry the patients to relevant hospitals? Is there enough manpower to render the necessary first aid? How many backups should I request once I've arrived at location? So these are the things that are actually going through my mind when I was en route towards the incident. Yeah.
And I think what we wanted to focus on was this notion of how we could ever prepare ourselves for something like this, because so many of us, thankfully, have not experienced anything like it. So if you do find yourself in something like this, what are some of the things that we should be taking stock of right away, whether it's about our surroundings or ourselves?
Yeah. So basically, when it comes to this kind of situation, regardless of whether you're alone or you're involving a huge crowd of casualties or you just one-to-one casualty, our first action plan will always be to check for dangers. So for example, for this kind of scenario, we have to ensure that the scene is safe for us to approach. And also, the scene is indeed safe to ourselves itself. Because if we are not safe, we can't actually render the appropriate first aid to the sick and injured. So make sure the scene is safe, and also we ourselves are safe from that. So right after that, we can actually check for the severity of the situation. Okay, how the incident happened, what are the response from the casualties that are available, that are on scene. And also to call for an ambulance, that's the most important part. And also anyone that is not injured to help us render the appropriate first aid. So once after that, the ambulance has been called, then the casualty is able to respond well to our questions, then we can proceed to treating them accordingly. So for example, if they are bleeding, we can stop bleeding with a simple clot. If we suspect they may have a broken bone, then we can help to immobilize to the best of our knowledge. If you feel that you can render first aid well in terms of immobilizing an open fracture or closed fracture, then by all means you can do it. But most important thing is the aim of first aid is to preserve life, to prevent further injuries, and also to promote recovery of our casualties.
Now, if we ourselves are injured, what steps should we take?
Of course, if we ourselves are injured, the same action plans also applies to us. We have to make sure the scene is safe also. If it's not safe, we have to move ourselves to a safer location, then call for help. Because if we ourselves have suffered from major injuries and we can't render first aid to ourselves, we have to call for help. Anyone that is nearby that is not injured to help do the necessary treatment to ourselves. And of course, to call for an ambulance. Regardless of what happened, an ambulance is a very important step to be done in this time of death. Then we have to check if there's any pain or bleeding on ourselves. If there's a small wound, there's a small bleeding, or there's a small broken bone, if we can manage it ourselves, then we do it. If we can't manage it ourselves, then of course we have to get help to actually stop the bleeding. Then of course, to make sure that we regulate our breathing accordingly. Get people's attention if we are alone, and also to stay alert throughout the whole process until help arrives. Because this actually makes a very big difference between life and death.
What kinds of first aid skills are most often required and that really everybody should have a basic handle on?
The most important that I would say that it will be CPR, which is cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Okay, we use this method if the casualty is in cardiac arrest, which is one of the most unexpected scenarios to happen regardless of space, place and time. So because this can be happen to anyone, anywhere, we at Central Ambulance Malaysia will actually really encourage all Malaysians to learn the basic of CPR. So this is the thing that we want most of them to learn.
Now, let's look at people's mental state, right? What sorts of emotions might we feel in an emergency situation like this? And is there any way that we can preempt that so that we might respond more calmly?
For laymen, obviously, you'll be afraid. You'll be very nervous when it comes to this counselor because you don't meet them on an everyday basis compared to the frontliners. So if we are afraid and nervous, the only thing that we can be that we can actually overcome this kind of situation is to be very calm and have a clear mind of what we're going to do. Be aware of the risk surrounding, stay in control of the situation, know what you are doing, and build trust to the people surrounding and also the casualty. So once we have these attributes, we can actually confidently act on in any emergency.
Kenneth, we just have a minute left with you. Where can people learn more about emergency response?
So Central Ambulance Malaysia actually offers a 2 days first aid course to the public, which covers from CPR to trauma incidents and also to medical emergency. So it's a very beneficial way that we can actually make a difference between life and death. So yeah, if any public that are interested in learning emergency response, they can actually approach us by looking through our online Google. You can actually get our number. Yeah.
Kenneth, thanks for speaking with us today.
No worries. Thanks so much.
That was Kenneth Charles Fernandez, Regional Staff Officer of Operations at St. John Ambulance of Malaysia, Wilayah Persekutuan, speaking to us about how we can manage emergency situations, what are some of the things to keep in mind and the skills to equip ourselves with. And we are, of course, talking about this in relation to the LRT crash that happened last night. So we've also been talking about public transport safety, as well as getting a handle on how investigations of the incident will be conducted. If you need more information about first aid courses to equip yourself, you can visit sjam.org.my. You can also give St. John's Ambulance a call at 03-9285-1576. That's 9285-1576. So do share your thoughts with us. How did you respond when you read about the accident last night? And in a wider sense, what needs to be done to make our public transportation safe? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.